Hey there, everyone. Happy Friday. It is Denise. We're here for Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Friday, June 10th. Friday's my most chill show of the week. As you know, we got a double dose of pro wrestling here today. 3 hours, 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour of Rampage to cram into a nice little podcast session here today. And I always like to analyze both shows and give a quick little rundown before we get into all of the details of the night. And I gotta say, I thought we had a pretty good 3 hours of solid entertainment top to bottom. That includes the first 2 hours of SmackDown and the last hour of Rampage. I thought that today's episode of SmackDown was on the better end of things. And also with Rampage, it was a pretty decent show. But I'm just so happy that we got 3 hours of good stuff, pretty much good stuff to talk about, at least some newsworthy stuff as well. And I was looking at a couple of the comments here, and from the looks of it, we got a couple of people here in this chat who are agreeing with the exact same thing. We got people basically saying that they thought SmackDown was a pretty good show, that they enjoyed both shows. Not a bad night for pro wrestling here today. A lot of people here kind of agreeing. So thank you guys so much for everybody who came in today and are all in here with some really good stuff. So let's go ahead and get into the show. I'm going to go ahead and kick things off with AEW Rampage. And then we're going to go ahead and get into SmackDown. And we kind of got a lot to actually talk about here today. But let's get to it. It's Friday, everyone. It's going to be a good weekend. At least I hope so. All right, let's go ahead and kick things off with our opening match on Rampage. And that was Jake Hager versus Eddie Kingston. So I'll be real with you all. This match, when I saw that it was announced, I wasn't, you know, like jumping on the bed or anything over it. Like, it was cool. I was like, okay, fine. This match was announced. No big deal. I really wasn't expecting, I don't know if I was, I just didn't really put much thought into the actual match. So I just went in there with no expectations whatsoever. I just thought, okay, we're going to get Eddie Kingston and Jake Hager. Cool. Makes sense. All right, let's do it. This ended up being one of my favorite matches of tonight, possibly even one of my favorites, period, of the night, because I thought it was really, really good. It was one of those matches that I started watching. And, you know, I'm watching and I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, this is getting good. And then it got a little better. And I was like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that too. Oh, this is good. And lo and behold, before I knew it, they had put on a really decent match. And I don't mean to say like, oh, I had no expectations for it. It's just that, you know, to be real with you all, it's been a while since we've actually seen Jake Hager in a single one-on-one competition match. I don't even remember the last time we actually saw Jake Hager in a singles match on Dynamite or Rampage. And if you guys remember, please let me know because I'm blanking right now on that. You know, it's not like we don't see him on the show because we do with the Jazz and all of that and, you know, everything else on that end of things. But in terms of like singles matches, I kind of feel like I forgot what he could really bring to the table. I completely feel like I forgot. And so kind of seeing him mix it in there with Eddie Kingston, I thought they did a phenomenal job. On top of this, I thought that it was aggressive. There was even a point where there was a chop from Jake Hager to Eddie Kingston. And I kind of like even forgot that Jake Hager's, like, Jake Hager's chop was pretty impressive. You know, if we're going to sit here and be like, hey, Denise, like, name everybody with the best chops, I don't think Jake Hager, like, just focusing on AEW, I don't think I would have even mentioned Jake Hager just because I completely forgot what he can do. So anyway, so I really liked that massive chop that we got from Jake Hager, but it was essentially, you don't chop Eddie Kingston and then not expect to get it much worse. And Eddie Kingston chopped him several times, and then later on in the match, he did it again, but this time he did like those like machine gun really fast type of like slaps to the chest that was really, really great to see. I loved that. For the finish, they kept a really aggressive pace during this match, which I liked. Like, we even saw, I think it was Kingston. I forgot if it was Kingston or Hager. Might have been Kingston who, like, jabbed the... Oh, Jesus, I didn't have to jab my own eye. Okay. I'm not trying to reenact this match here, but I legitimately just jabbed my eyeball. But that's... That's what we saw in this match, and I appreciated that. For the finish, we did see the back spinning back fist from Eddie Kingston to Jake Hager for the actual finish. This was a thumbs up, good match. I had a great time. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Jesus. Oh, man. Injuring myself here on the show. Gonna have to sign those. What do you call those? Like those papers where you're like, you can't sue the company if you get hurt on the job. I'm gonna have to sign one of those. But let's see what we got here, guys. Let's see what people are saying. This is from Cadillac Carson, who says Excalibur describes Eddie as a pissed off Eddie Kingston. That seems accurate. He's always super pissed off. Like the dude comes out and he's like literally all the time. DKMY06 says Jake was really good tonight. I agree. And like, he's been doing good anytime he's in, you know, whatever he's doing. When he was doing stuff with the Inner Circle, like it was fine. But I feel like Jake Hager has sort of been in the shadows. He's been in the shadows. Like he's, you know, when he was in Inner Circle, he really wasn't too much of a focal point. And then now with the Jericho Appreciation Society, I remember there was one week, I remember, I forgot what the hell promo it was. One of the many promos that Jericho cuts, right? And I remember coming onto this show and literally talking about how I forgot that Jake Hager existed because he was just standing there and didn't bring anything to the table. Like, he wasn't saying anything. Oh, it was the day that he got caught. He got called like a floral something. He was wearing florals. That's all I remember. He was wearing florals that day. And I remember coming out here and talking about that. And, you know, he tends to be a guy that tends to blend in the background. So I thought today was a good shining moment for him. That's the best way to say it. It was a good way to say it. VA Charles says that it was a banger. I completely agree. It was a good one here. Zeno Hour says, was that your Eddie Kingston impression? Yes. Yes, it was. Mike New York says, Denise on the injured list. It's a work, guys. It's a work. It's a worked injury. I'm just kidding. Actually, if I would have literally taken my eye out right now, not a work. Thank you. The flower romper, Juan Ortega. He wasn't wearing a romper. No, it wasn't a romper. It was floral, but it wasn't a romper though. He was wearing, it was a two piece. It wasn't a romper. Unless that's what they called him. I don't know what they called him. Anyway, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Either way, this was a thumbs up here. All right, after this, we got Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh coming out with Sanjay Dutt, and they face the job. Well, Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh team up and they face the jobbers of Dave Vega and Matt Fitchett. What a great last name, Fitchett. This was a squash match. Satnam gets the win here for his team. Nothing else much I want to say. They celebrate. Good for them. Sanjay Dutt, man, whatever energy drinks he's on, whatever he's drinking, I need to get a load of that because Sanjay Dutt was wired the hell up, man. He had so much energy tonight. It's fine. It's cool. It didn't take up too much of the show. I feel like I have nothing to add to this because there wasn't enough for me to say anything really about today. Like, okay, they came out, they had a squash match. Cool. What else? Nothing really. So I don't even feel like I got too much to add about that. Just, hey man, Sanjay Dutt's wired up, guys. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, here we go. We got some good comments here. Let's get some people's thoughts out here. We got people actually putting over Satnam. Kyle Pitt saying Singh is so much better than Omos and that he can actually move. A couple of people saying that as well. DKMY06 says Sanjay channeled his car salesman energy with his outfit. Dude, I loved his outfit. That like all plaid look. I would wear that. Hell yeah, that was a good freaking look. I loved it. Oh man, this turned into a burial of Omos in the chat, guys. Poor Omos. But I will say this though. When Satnam Singh made his AEW debut, do you remember everybody was crapping on that? everybody. Shit, I was crapping on that. Everybody. And I even felt bad about it. I was like, man, the execution of his debut came off like such a big disappointment to everybody. Because if you remember, they did the blackout and everybody was expecting this big old, you know, massive star that we all knew. And then the lights came on. And then all of a sudden, it just ended up being this guy that we all forgot that AEW signed. And so I felt bad for him. I felt bad because I thought, man, poor guy, because of the way his debut was formatted, people already don't like him. And for the longest time, or like for that, you know, those couple weeks, like those couple days after, I feel like people were not really too happy when you had mentioned Satnam Singh's name. And so good for him. You know what? It seems like people are turning. People are turning. They're starting to show a little love for Satnam Singh. So you know what? Let's call today a win for Satnam Singh. Congratulations. It hasn't happened yet for Omaz, unfortunately. Fortunately, has not happened for Omaz yet. Maybe we'll get there someday, just not today. Okay, let's go ahead and continue on from here. After this, we got a backstage segment with Hookhausen. And basically, I thought, well, technically they did talk, but they kind of made it seem like they were going to go out and, you know, do something like really major on the show because we were going to hear from Hookhausen. We heard from them technically, just not too much, but we know they're having a good time. So Lexi Nair was backstage trying to interview Danhausen, who was in a golf cart. And Danhausen's like, oh, you want to talk? You want to talk to Hook? His eyes are all bulging out. You want to talk to Hook? And then Hook rolls up with those cars that he looks like he's part of Mad Max. And that was it. They got cars. They're celebrating their winnings. Cool. Good for them. Hookhausen having a good time. Nothing else much to add about that. I'm like, if they're going to keep doing this every week where they're showing like cool things that Hookhausen are doing, I'm here for that though. I would be here for that. I think that'd be awesome. Let's see what else we got here, guys. Let's see what people are saying. Andrew Cook says, was it just me or was there a little fangirl or something in the way Lexi Nair looked at Hook driving away? I thought they did it as like a flirtatious thing. I think that's what they're doing, because if you notice, all of Lexi Nair's the most of the interviews that she's been doing have been with Hook. She's done interviews with like other talent, right? But most of them have been with Hook. And then afterwards when Hook did the little like bringing the glasses down, I think they want to do something there. That's the vibe I'm getting. I'm getting the, you know, I don't know, like the cute girl and the, you know, cute boy type of vibe. I don't know. That's what I'm getting. Okay. That's the vibe. But if they're doing that, I don't know. Let's see what else we got here. And let's see. Okay, there we go. B. Goolsby says they did it like a woman love a badass guy type of trope. But yeah, there you go. Like, you know, the girls tend to go for the bad boys, you know, bad boy syndrome. We know that. We're suckers for bad boys. So there's Lexi Nair just, you know, flaunting over Hook in a subtle way. She's not like throwing herself at him or anything like that. It was very, very subtle. But you got the vibe, though. They want to play him off as a ladies' man. It works. They should do that for Hook. He's a young guy. We all saw that video. Or was it a video? Or was it a photo? I forget. About him out there with the ladies, with the chicas, getting it on. Good for Hook. Live your life, man. Live your life. Oh, what's up? We got some super chats in the house. The first super chats of the day. This is from Sheldon Jackson. Thank you so much to Sheldon, who says, Sanjay's on his Matilda's dad outfit vibes. Dude, I haven't seen Matilda in years. I don't even remember Matilda. I don't even remember the dad. And you know what's crazy too is that somebody brought up Matilda to me like yesterday. And I remember it was something totally different. And I remember saying the exact same thing. So then right now you bring up Matilda. And now I just feel like I need to rewatch Matilda. But I think I hated Matilda, actually. As a little girl, I hated Matilda because she had short hair and brown hair, like short brown hair, right? I think she did. Is that the right Matilda? Short brown hair? Well, I hated her. I hated her because it wasn't me, and so I didn't like her. I wanted to be Matilda. I remember having those feelings as a young child. Sam Pai Boone sends in a super chat saying, hi, Denise. Did you know about Paige leaving WWE, not resigning WWE contract? Yes, I saw the post that she put out today on Twitter, and I'm not surprised, guys. I'm not surprised. I think she says that she's done with them on July 7th, I believe was the date, if I'm correct. I'm not surprised because they weren't, you know, they weren't using her like not to go out there and, you know, as a, you know, a speaking role, because we know she can't wrestle right now. She's not cleared to wrestle, right? But they didn't use her like as a manager or as anything. She wasn't doing that backstage show anymore. That had been long done. So it's not like they were having her do anything. So this didn't really come off as a surprise to me. But what did kind of come up as a little bit of a surprise to me was at the bottom portion of that tweet that she put out. She kind of seems very hopeful that she's going to be returning to the ring. And I don't know, I kind of feel like I've been getting like two vibes from that. Like, geez, she's very, very hopeful. But then at the same time, you just don't know. Like, it's still not something that's for sure. So I hope for the very best for her, man, because I feel like her story, it's a sad one, I think, because she got this injury at such a young age, and it ended her career. And she was like 20 something when her career ended. Like, nobody ever wants to go through something like that, where your career comes to an end like that. And it's really sad. Honestly, it's really sad. I forgot what WWE special I was watching on Paige when she was on the phone talking to her mom about her broken neck and the injury. And I just remember, I really remember that scene when she's talking to her mom on the phone and she's breaking the news to her about her injury. Oh man, that was so heartbreaking. I felt so bad for her, especially because, you know, she was such a big part, a huge part of, you know, helping move forward women's wrestling, especially in WWE. And so, man, it sucks, and I hope for the best for Paige, and I don't know what else to say. I hope for the best for her, but I'm not surprised that she's, you know, done with WWE. But thank you so much to Sampai Boone for also sending this in here. And let's see what else we got here. And this is a super chat from Leonard Aarons III. Thank you so much to Leonard, who says, New Japan made it official during the last hour. Juice has been stripped of the U.S. title at Sonata and Ospreay at Dominion for the title. Thank you for letting me know this. I had not seen this at all. So thank you so much for the update. Damn. Okay. Shit. Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry. I was rereading what you said and like formulating a thought in my head. But Leonard Aarons III, thank you so much for sending in the super chat and informing me of this as well. Let's get some thoughts in here and see what people are saying. This is a comment from Shoop, who says, I hope Paige doesn't step into the ring again after her horrific injuries, unless she could pull a Bryan Danielson if she goes somewhere else to wrestle. Other people need to keep her safe. It's hard, guys. It's hard, especially because you don't know her specifics. You know, we're not her doctor. We don't know her specifics of her injury. And it's like, I feel hopeful, especially because, you know, we saw Edge coming back. That was unexpected. Hell, even Stone Cold Steve Austin had a match at WrestleMania. That was unexpected. So I feel like we've had so many examples of people being able to like come back, whether it be for at least one match or coming back to have an actual career again, like Edge, Bryan Danielson, who, you know, wasn't getting cleared, but his situation was, you know, obviously all of their situations were different, but I feel like because we've seen that and we've seen different examples of this, it kind of gives you hope that, oh, you know what, maybe there's a chance for Paige. And never say never. You don't know. I don't know what her progress is or anything like that, but still. Let's see what else we got. This is from B. Goolsby, who says, it made me think about poor Big E when I saw Paige's tweet today. Hopefully they can give him a job even if he can't wrestle again. That's another one. Thank you so much for bringing up Big E. We still, you know, Big E's still gone. He's still dealing with his neck issue. Man, it's a serious thing, guys. It's a serious, serious thing. And it sucks. It really sucks. But what can you do, guys? What can you do? All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Let's see after this. So we had finished talking about Hookhausen. Let's get into Chris Statlander versus Red Velvet. This ended up being a spectacular match. And I think the reason this match was good was because, well, first of all, Chris Statlander came in and she was completely, and I mean completely and utterly like fired up, man. Like, she came in there, batteries fully charged, freaking Energizer Bunny. I freaking love that. Okay. And I think one of the things that we've been talking about a lot lately, or at least I feel I've been talking about on these shows, is how Chris Statlander, she, you know, we can go back to her losing that match at Rampage and not, you know, against Ruby Soho, right? And the fans wanting it to be Chris Statlander, but it not being the decision at the time. Okay. Then we talk about this moment where she finally gets this confrontation with Jade Cargill because people want to see her go against Jade for the TBS championship. And then the moment is she's overshadowed because Athena comes out. So it's always like there's the last couple of months, especially, or weeks rather, it's almost like Chris Statlander was on the precipice of something happening for her, like her career going from like here to here. And then something else happens to kind of like push her to the side or, you know, just cast a shadow over her. So I feel like, and this is just me making an assumption because I'm not Chris Statlander and I cannot speak for her, but I almost feel like she's coming in here with a chip on her shoulder to maybe prove herself and be like, damn, I'm tired. I'm tired of being cast into the side. Look at me. Look at what I can bring to the ring. Look at my energy. Because I think she recognizes that right now she has the AEW audience rooting for her. People are rooting. I mean, they were always rooting for her, but I think people are feeling like this is it. Like, this is her time. People are recognizing it, and they're responding and reacting to that. So I think Chris Statlander also sees that. I mean, clearly she should. She's the one experiencing it, right? And so when she came in there and she's fired up in this match, it was like a different Chris Statlander that we'd seen before, but she hit all of her like major, you know, all of her moves, all of her signature moves. She got them in there. You know, we saw her do the, she attempted the vertical suplex on Red Velvet. She did the Blue Thunder Bomb. She did a beautiful German suplex. But she was hitting all of her spots and they all looked so freaking good. So this was kind of a reminder, not a reminder, but it was just a, this is what Chris Statlander can do, and look at her do it at her best right now. And Red Velvet did a good job at like basically being that body to go and take these moves and whatnot. So Red Velvet also did a good job. She was a good opponent for Chris Statlander here, where Chris Statlander could execute again all of these spots once again. She hit the Friday Night Fever for the win here. And after the match, though, we did see Kiera Hogan come out and attack her. Afterwards, Jade ends up hitting her with the pump kick. And Athena comes out and she tries to have her back, but she's held back by the referees, etc. So this is Chris Statlander's moment. I think she feels it, and I hope she gets to actually enjoy it. We got a super chat here from Leonard Aarons III, who says, in light of what MJF said last week, Chris, before that, she, not Athena, should be the one to ultimately dethrone Jade for the TBS title. Chris is money. And here's the thing, like, if you were to tell me, like, hey, Denise, who should be dethroning Jade Cargill right now? Because this has gone on so long, it needs to be somebody that is going to benefit from this. And Chris Statlander defeating Jade Cargill would benefit Chris Statlander a whole lot. But at the same, and I think Jade Cargill right now, she's gotten to the point where because she has this like very, she's a star, right? She's a star. She presents herself like a star. She acts like a star. Her losing to Chris Statlander, I don't think would hurt Jade Cargill too much because, she already has that like star presentation. So I think if they were to do that with Chris Statlander, it would be really cool for her. And also, you know, start to build up more of these women on the AEW roster, right? There you go. Thank you so much to Leonard for also sending this in as well. And let's see what else we got here. This is from the Kaioput, who says, the crowd is already turning. AEW fans want to see AEW wrestlers with those belts. Yeah, I think we sensed that. I think we sensed that for sure. Definitely did. And let's see what we got here. This is from D. Kumai, who says, first Chris gets hurt, now Athena taking her thunder. I want Athena to lose to Jade and Chris to dethrone her. And I feel bad for Athena. I just think it's like the timing. She came in during a time where it feels like it's stolen from Chris Statlander. Like, I don't think this is anything against Athena, like, at all, because she didn't do anything. Like, people don't dislike Athena. They like Athena. It's just that she came in when it was somebody else's time and the people recognized that. It was very, very obvious. We got Reductive92 who also says they think Chris should defeat Jade Streak at TBS Championship, not Athena. And that does suck too for Athena. But again, it's just the crowd knows it's not her time. It's Chris Statlander's time. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Reductive92 who asks, why does it seem like TK pushes the ex-WWE women, Ruby, Tony, Athena, instead of their own women? He does it with the men too. I can't argue that because that's kind of how it felt when Ruby Soho won over Chris Statlander. That's how it felt. That's honestly how it felt. Toni Storm is different. I think Toni Storm is, to me, she's out of the three names, out of Ruby, Toni, and Athena, Toni to me is the bigger star. Out of those three names, to me, she's the bigger star. And so I think her treatment is a little bit different just because she has that like star power that I don't think Ruby and Athena have the same star power as Toni Storm. So I think that one's a little bit different there. But then there you go. That was something that MJF said in his workshop promo. So I don't know. Don't listen to me. Listen to MJF. Let's see what else we got here. More people just saying they love Athena, but it's just not her time. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on. The last and final thing before we move on to SmackDown, we got the main event, which was the United Empire versus Trent and FTR. This was good stuff, guys. This was a very, very solid match. I think they kept it, like, they kept the momentum building towards the end. And in the end, we saw, like, the finish with the cutter, the 450 splash, near falls at the end. And then Ospreay doing that, like, crossbody to the outside to FTR. That was really good. But for the win, we actually see Trent hit the strong zero and get the win for his team with FTR. And I'm glad they gave Trent the win here, too, because if you're going to have FTR win, you might as well let Trent get the win here. I think it benefits. He wins. He gets a lot more out of it. So I like that. I thought this was a good match. And all it did was honestly just like tease me, leave me wanting more to see more with Will Ospreay and whoever else they pair him up with to hopefully have some more matches in the future with other AEW talents. I feel like there's just so much there. There's so much there. And so that kind of did leave me with a little bit of like, I want it. I want it. This is from Cadillac Carson who says, I was surprised that Ospreay and his team lost in their debut though. I didn't because, you know, FTR, man, like FTR, they're on another level in AEW and they've been treated with a lot of respect in AEW and they don't just, you know, pick up L's, you know, they just don't pick up L's left and right. Like that's not what you do with FTR. So if it would have been any other team, I probably would have felt the same way, but because it's FTR in the ring, I was definitely okay with them winning this match for sure. I mean, I know we're surprised because again, it was their first match in AEW, but when they're in the ring with FTR, it makes sense to me to do that. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from Shoop, who says FTR, the greatest tag team I've seen in over 40 years of watching wrestling. These guys are incredible. King of Hueco Mundo says, to me, Rampage was a solid show from start to finish. No bad matches at all. And the crowd was glued to it, plus the main event was a fire match. Crowd exploded for FTR and Trent. This is from Josh W, who says, my first time seeing a full match with Ospreay. Can't wait to see more. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, please like go down a rabbit hole of like Will Ospreay's matches on YouTube. Like whatever you can find, I suggest you watch and trust me, you will love him. Like if this was your first match you ever saw of Will Ospreay, you haven't seen anything, like anything yet. So please go like Google Will Ospreay matches and trust me, you'll have, you'll end up like just going down a rabbit hole. All right. Oh, we got a couple more people saying that Kaya put also saying this is the first time they've seen Ospreay. Please, this match does not do him justice. Let me tell you, like, this was a good match, right? It was good. It was solid, but this match did not do Will Ospreay justice. Like in terms of like, if this is your first introduction to Ospreay, there is just so much more. Please, so much more. Troy says, I watch his New Japan stuff. It's great. Completely agree. Please do. Get a lot of good stuff in there. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and transition into, Monday Night SmackDown. Jesus Christ, Denise, get it together. Friday Night SmackDown. Here we go. But before we do, all righty. As wrestling fans, you guys know this. We know this because we're always doing this. We're always talking about pro wrestling. We're always trying to predict what is going to happen on these shows and so on. Well, what if I told you that you can do all of that? You can make your predictions and actually have a real opportunity to win some real cold hard cash. Well, you can. For all major pay-per-views or premium live events, you guys can head on over to WrestleRumble.com. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com. You purchase an entry, you answer prop questions, and you can actually win some money. So they're going to be opening the Forbidden Door Pick'em contest pretty soon. I'm assuming they're just waiting for more matches to get announced, and then you'll see the Forbidden Door Pick'em contest open over at WrestleRumble.com. And check this out. So the fourth place winner can get themselves a mystery prize. The third place winner will win $100. Hey, man, that's gas for at least like a week. Second place, $200. And first place will go home with $500. That can do a whole lot, man. That's like internet bill, phone bill, and maybe like one meal. But still, guys, take home some cash, man. Here's the cool thing. So, and my last one, and for my AEW Double or Nothing Pick'em contest, for one of my followers ended up winning some actual money. They won $1,000. And I'm not going to lie to you when I tell you that I was so totally jelly that they won $1,000, because who doesn't want $1,000? Who doesn't want money, period? How you have a chance, enter. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com. Go enter their Forbidden Door Pick'em contest. It's going to be opening soon, so keep an eye out. I'll let you know the second it opens, but I'm warning you now. Warning you now. Also, in the meantime, go show them some love on Twitter and Instagram at WrestleRumble. They are my sponsors. We love them here. Alrighty. Man, I totally butchered that one. So here's my problem with these reads, guys. So I write a script out, okay? But then I get so excited and I go off script, and then I'm like, where was I at on this script? So I need to really, really format this a lot better. But I mean it, guys. Wrestle Rumble is freaking awesome. Let's go ahead and jump into Friday Night SmackDown. Now, I want to start off by saying that I, for one, am happy that we actually had a good episode of Friday Night SmackDown. This is the first time I have said we have had a good Friday Night SmackDown in at least maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months. So I'm very happy about that. Thumbs up. All right. Kicking things off, let's start off with Cody Rhodes. So Cody Rhodes has been such a huge topic on like every living, breathing wrestling podcast in like the last couple of months. And we've been talking a lot about the torn pec, the Hell in a Cell, and just everything that went down. Well, yesterday, Brandi Rhodes sent out a tweet that his surgery was a success and that he is on the road to rehab. Well, today, Michael Cole on Friday Night SmackDown essentially announced that Cody Rhodes is expected to be out for 9 months. 9 months, ladies and gentlemen. 9 freaking months. What is that? June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Jesus Christ. That's February. Let's just say February 10th for some odd reason. That's 9 months. That's a long time. So part of me is thinking two things. The first thing I'm thinking is, either they are kind of exaggerating the time frame so that if he comes back sooner, it's like, oh, people can have the, holy shit, Cody Rhodes was supposed to come back in 9 months, but here he is. He's back in 6 months. He's back in 7 months. My God, what a man. He's back in 4 months, you know? Whatever months he actually comes back in, part of me wonders if they're just trying to like make you think he's going to come back in 9 months, but he's not really going to come back in 9 months. And then the other part of me is like, well, what if WWE is telling the truth? What if it is these 9 months? If it is these 9 months, and that just tells me maybe the injury was maybe a little bit worse than they might have imagined, I don't know. So I don't know if this is the surgery, if the injury was, worse than what they might have expected, or if they're just trying to give us an exaggerated time frame so that he can come back sooner and he could look like even better. I don't know. those are the two thoughts that kind of came into my mind on that. But we got a lot of people saying that they're expecting him to be back for the Royal Rumble, including my good friend Cole, saying he's for sure going to be back for the Royal Rumble. Well, that's at least 8 months. So definitely has to be for the Royal Rumble, right? He's got to be. YT says he's going to be back for the Rumble. Brandon Rosen, Rumble. Absolutely. Everybody and their mothers is expecting Cody Rhodes to be back for the Royal Rumble. So if he didn't, I would be absolutely surprised here. The Kyle Put says the diagnosis is really 6 to 9 months. I think it will be six. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think it depends on where they're at, you know, during that time, because this is WWE. Like, they could literally have him ready. Like, let's say he's ready before the Rumble. They can, if they feel they need somebody like a month before the Rumble to like come out on their programming because they're like desperate for somebody, they might just have Cody Rhodes come out before the Rumble. And then everybody's going to be like, oh man, why didn't they wait till the Royal Rumble when he could have came out? So yeah, like, I don't know. It all depends on where WWE is at during that time and how, like, whether or not they have the luxury of holding out for him to actually come back to the Rumble. And that's, of course, depending on his rehab and how everything goes. And now Cody Rumble is officially a thing, guys. Jesus Christ, you said Cody Rumble. I did say it, guys. I did say it. It just came out. Cadillac Carson says Cody Rumble, Cody Mania. What did I call? I think I called Cody Rhodes something different last time, too. I don't remember what I called. I know I messed up. I said something. I was trying to say two things at once, and I called him something else, and I don't remember what it was. I might have tweeted about it. I'll have to go back and find that tweet. I'll look for it later. But anyways, Cody Rumble. It's going to be a thing, guys. It's going to be a thing. All right, let's get into this. We kicked off the night with Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus, which was actually a pretty good match. It was a qualifier for the Money in the Bank. I really wish we would have just had a clear, concise winner. But you know what? We had a good match. I can't complain too much. But this match did end up essentially being a double disqualification because they ended up brawling on the outside. They ended up getting counted out. They continued to brawl on the outside. And so that's pretty much what would happen in the first match there. But regardless, they had a good match. And I think that Drew McIntyre and or Sheamus should both be in the Money in the Bank. But if I had to choose, definitely Drew McIntyre. So we'll see what they go with on that end of things. But it was a good match. I really wish we would have had a clear, concise winner right off the bat. But they decided to prolong this a little bit more, though. Brandon Rosen says, another annoying DQ. Kyle Put says, I hate the double countouts. Makes both people look stupid. But it was a good match, though. Yep, agreed. It was a good match, so I'm not gonna complain too hard, guys. I don't want people to get mad at me and tell me that I complain too much and the whole shenanigans thing. I did love, by the way, during this match, we saw Drew McIntyre give a beautiful claymore to Butch. I don't know why, but I feel like I needed to shout that out. That was a beautiful claymore to Butch. Butch took it like a man. All right, let's get into Lacey Evans versus Xia Li. So this was another qualifier for the Money in the Bank, and this was the first match that we have seen Lacey Evans in since she left for her pregnancy about like months and months ago. Lacey Evans, Jesus, it has been her whole story, her whole return has been very, very confusing. So she came back and she was on SmackDown. And she was doing those promos. And the first week, the second week, it was nice. It was fine. You know what? Pay your respects, Lacey Evans. You know, she had a hard life. You know what? Not applause, but respect. You know, respect. Respect, girl. Respect. But then they kept going and they kept going. And we ended up having, I don't know how many chapters, how many weekly editions of this Lacey Evans sob story. And a lot of people were fed up with it. And then on SmackDown, they basically introduced her in sort of a heelish manner. And so everybody was thinking, okay, so this is going to be a swerve. And now Lacey Evans is a heel, even though we spent the last 5 to 6 weeks having her on the screen being promoted and treated as a baby face, right? But that didn't end up happening. Then she was randomly moved to Raw. She came out one time on Raw, don't even remember what she did, and then she's back on SmackDown. And today was her return to SmackDown. I think Kayla Braxton introduced her, and she was like, making her return to SmackDown or something like that. I forgot how Kayla Braxton worded it. But so Lacey Evans came back to SmackDown for no reason, but she's back on SmackDown. And then she had her first match back today with Xia Li. So after about like 2 months of her being back in WWE, this was the first match she had. This was a very, very straightforward match. It was okay. It was perfectly fine. She ended up winning it with the woman's right, and that was it. She won the match, and she's qualified now for the Money in the Bank, and I think she's the first one to she's definitely the first one for the women to qualify for the Money in the Bank. So it's been very confusing with Lacey Evans. I hope they figure it out, because I think that I like the first 2 weeks that they were doing that like really sad story for Lacey Evans, I was on board with it. I thought, okay, cool, because you know they're trying to change the perception of Lacey Evans, because prior to her leaving, I mean, the whole storyline was that she was knocked up by Ric Flair. That was the storyline, okay? And she was pregnant and she was, you know, giving shit to Charlotte Flair. It was such a trashy storyline. And so I thought, okay, they're trying to change her. They're trying to have the fans take her more seriously. They want the fans to respect her, so they're talking about her hard times. And I thought, okay, I could get on board with that. But then the direction I thought they were going to go in, they ended up going in an entirely different direction, having her go back and forth, having her possibly be a heel. She could have easily been a babyface. 2 weeks of those promos, that's it. And she could have been wrestling, having matches. She could have easily been a babyface. And we know we need those babyface females on the roster, but to be honest, right now, I don't even know what she is. Like, what is Lacey Evans? Is she a babyface? Is she a heel? I don't even know. I don't even think I know. I don't know. But anyway, she's in the Money in the Bank. She's a heel face, apparently. Man, man, man. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from Pomi Wrestling, who says, fun fact, that was Xia Li's third televised match since getting called up back in October. They haven't done much with her either. Like, they started off doing those pretty cool vignettes where she would come out and say how she hated bullies. And I forgot what that word that she was using over and over in her promos was. She hated something. It was besides bullies, but she kept going. She kept saying it over and over. Now I just forgot. But either way, I thought those were pretty cool. The little animations, the little stories. I liked those. But nothing really came of that. So, eh. We got a super chat here from Brandon Roseanne. Thank you so much to Brandon, who says, it's annoying how WWE is trying to brand Lacey's promo by having her say that catchphrase at the end. Why can't they just let her tell her story and be real and stop scripting what she says? Because they can't, guys. They're not going to let her just like go out there and be like, well, this is what happened in my life. She's going to be scripted. That's just the thing. I think for me, it's like, just, I want it to be clear if she's a babyface, if she's a heel. And I want it to be clear that if she's on a brand, she's going to stay there for a good chunk of time. And we're not going to be seeing her just move back and forth. Cause I don't like that. Cause you know, I'm investing my time in both of these shows, reviewing both of these shows. And I want to make sure that when I'm reviewing a show, that what I'm wasting my time talking about actually matters. I don't want it to be something that doesn't matter. But thank you so much to Brandon Rosen for this super generous comment, super chat. And thank you, HB Goo 1975. The word was vultures, that she hates vultures. Thank you. I couldn't remember. I'm like, she said it a million times. It was vultures. All right. Moving on from here. So after this, we got a pretty decent match between Ronda Rousey and Shotzi Blackheart. This was a championship contenders match. And for those of you who are wondering what a championships contenders match is, it's essentially how they promote it is, you would think, okay, if it's a championship contenders match, if Shotzi beats Ronda, she's going to get a title shot. Well, no. Technically, if she were to beat Ronda Rousey, she has the potential of possibly getting a championship match somewhere in the unknown future. So, long story short, championships contenders matches don't mean a thing. But either way, this was a pretty decent match. I really like this. And then this was like the first time in like a long time that I actually feel like we've gotten some focus on Shotzi Blackheart, because I feel like the last real thing they did was her with her was when she was kind of feuding for like a day or so with Sasha Banks. That ended up ending really fast too. And then after that, there hasn't really been much done with Shotzi. And so she comes out and she basically asks for a shot. The only thing that I didn't like about this is that they had Ronda use some like verbiage that didn't feel very like Ronda Rousey-ish. Like it didn't feel like her personality. You know, usually when you give these like promos and you're using certain words, it feels like it needs to match. Like the person needs to be comfortable saying it, right? And if they're not, you can kind of tell. So they kind of had Ronda do a couple of these dorky lines where she was like, "All right, I'm going to give you a shot, Z." On Z, something like that. I don't know what the hell she said exactly. It was really weird and it didn't really fit Ronda Rousey. So I wasn't too crazy about that. I was like, oh, that doesn't feel right. Like, I didn't like the delivery of those lines. Like, it's like Ronda looked silly saying them and it was too dorky. It was like dad jokes and Ronda Rousey's no dad. Like, it was a little bit weird. So I didn't like that line. So I would it's like, don't have Ronda Rousey go out there saying dumb words. Like, I'm going to give you a shot Z right on Z or something like that is what she said. Don't have Ronda Rousey do that. Come on, it's Ronda Rousey. She shouldn't be out there making all these, like, saying silly words. Oh, thank you. YT says, quote, "I'm going to give you a shot Z. You're on ski." There you go. It was on ski that she said. Yeah, on ski. Come on. Like, that's not Ronda Rousey. It wasn't her vibe. It wasn't her vibe. King of Hueco Mundo says crowd wasn't feeling that Ronda Rousey promo. No, they weren't. I think what was weird was this promo was live, right? Clearly it was live, but the delivery of it sounded almost pre-recorded. Now I'm not saying it was pre-recorded because you can't, right? It was a live promo, but the delivery of it was like, "Hey guys, this is Denise Salcedo and you're watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Welcome to the show." You know, like that's what the delivery was. And so that was very clear right off the bat. And when you have somebody delivering a promo like that, it's not going to connect with the live audience. Like that's the one thing that Ronda, there's been some promos that I have liked of Ronda, but when she's not really feeling what she's saying, you can tell. Like you can tell she's not really feeling it. And with the live crowd, instantly when you're in front of a live audience, your voice and your energy changes. It changes. You open yourself up more because you're feeding off the energy from the crowd, whether you're a babyface, whether you're a heel, or in my case, a ring announcer. You feed off from the crowd's energy, and that's going to influence your tone and how you deliver certain things. You know, it changes that. And that's what I'm saying. Like her delivery of this promo, it was like if she was in a room with no people. So that's the one thing I think Ronda, they definitely need to help Ronda out with, is making her feel like grand. You know, she's this big, massive star. She's, you know, God, she's freaking awesome. And the stuff that she's done outside of WWE, her work in MMA, amazing, right? But promo-wise, she needs to feel, and her promos need to match her star status. That's the best way I can say it. Her promos need to match her star status, and they're not there yet. Yeah, unfortunately, it does kind of feel like she's bored to be there, and that's the best way that you could possibly put it there. It needs to change it there. Barnacleville says, "Denise is so sassy, muy caliente." I am very sassy. If this is your first time in any of my streams, I am very sassy. All right, moving on. Let's see. Okay, so back to the match. Sorry, because I didn't actually talk about Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi. This was good, guys. This was a good match. Oh my God, I was so happy to see Shotzi in action in here. I thought they worked together very well. I loved the combination, the sequence when we saw Ronda grab the leg of Shotzi, and then Shotzi kind of like blocked her. So Ronda was holding onto her leg and they were both like in the standing position. And then Shotzi kind of like started slapping her, like being very disrespectful to Ronda. Rhonda's clearly not going to like that whatsoever. And so Rhonda reacted in that sense. So the second that she started getting slapped all sorts of silly by Shotzi, Rhonda went all crazy on her, hit her with a slam, hit her with several shots to the stomach, and then she lifts up Shotzi. She hits the Piper's Pit. Then she locks in the arm bar, and that's eventually how Shotzi ends up tapping out. So I loved the finish. I thought the finish was good. I thought the match was good. I liked the chemistry, that the in-ring chemistry that they had together. I think there's a lot of potential there with Ronda Rousey and Shotzi working a program. This could be the pro, like, if they were to do a serious program, like a good feud with Ronda Rousey and Shotzi, I feel like it would do so much for Shotzi. Like, I would rather see Ronda Rousey and Shotzi in this, like, legit story than Ronda Rousey and Natty. And the reason I say that is because I know it's not going to go anywhere with Ronda Rousey and Natty. And I know that the reason they're only doing this right now is because they want to do the whole arm bar versus a sharpshooter thing. But I don't want to see that. And the reason why I don't want to see that is because we already kind of have that a little bit with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte, where the arm bar was, you know, kind of basically their a big focal point of the actual story, because Charlotte Flair was telling her how she's a one-trick pony, and Ronda being a one-trick pony was a huge portion of the storytelling between Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. And so I don't want to kind of see the exact same thing or something too similar to that, especially so right after this feud with Ronda and Charlotte, with Natty and Ronda. I would really like to see something a little bit different. And I think that if they would have done a program with Shotzi, I think I would have been a little bit more invested. But with that being said, Natalya comes out, puts her in the sharpshooter, and that's that. All right, so let's go ahead and move on from here, guys, and let's get into Gunther. All right, so Gunther versus Ricochet. I loved this match. This match was so fun. This was Ricochet being Ricochet and Gunther being Gunther. And by that, I mean Ricochet is like all loose like a rubber band, and Gunther's coming in there super hard, hitting him with the boot, hitting him with those clotheslines, literally beating the living hell out of Ricochet. It's exactly what I wanted. Gunther wins. And he's the new Intercontinental Champion. It was exactly the right move. I think that Gunther as champion is seriously going, if, and God, I hope they do not drop the ball. Please do not drop the ball on this. But Gunther as Intercontinental Champion is seriously going to spice up SmackDown. It's going to add so much, in my opinion, if they play their cards right. They could make this very, very pleasing and very entertaining. So please do not drop the ball on Gunther as Intercontinental Champion. I'm looking forward to this. So this is the one thing that I'm really looking forward to now in the coming weeks when I watch SmackDown. So please do not ruin it for me. So we'll see. Anyways, I'm very happy for Gunther because he's now Intercontinental Championship. Kaya Pitt says, push Gunther to the moon. Brandon Rosen says they already have dropped the ball. This match should have been a squash. No, I don't think so. Like, it could have been a squash. I completely agree with you, but they didn't, but it was harmless. I thought it was a very entertaining match. So I wouldn't say they dropped the ball. No, definitely not. Cause I was very, very invested into this match. I thought it was really good. Another match that I thought was really great was the main event, which was Matt Riddle versus Sami Zayn, two great competitors, but I wasn't really sure. I don't want to, like, here's the thing. Like, this match exceeded my expectations, but that's not to say that it's because, oh, one of these guys isn't good, right? It has nothing to do with that. It has to do more so with the fact that when it comes to Sami Zayn, they tend to do these, like, very goofy things, and sometimes that ends up taking hold of not just his character, but what he does in the ring and how things play out for him. And I don't always want to see that in his matches. Like, I want to see Sami Zayn go out there and have legitimate matches, because that's what he's really freaking great. Like, yeah, he can do the comedy, but he's a really great wrestler. And so when you so I really wasn't sure what we were gonna get out of this match. I didn't know if we were gonna get, you know, Sami Zayn actually being able to wrestle this match with Matt Riddle, or if we were gonna get like a goofy Sami Zayn where it impacts the quality of what we see in ring wise. So I didn't know what we were actually gonna get from this match. Well, we ended up getting the better option, which was Sami Zayn and Matt Riddle actually going out there and wrestling this match and having a really good one. But the stipulation of this was essentially if Matt Riddle wins, he gets a Universal title shot against Roman Reigns next week. And if Zayn wins, Riddle's banned from SmackDown. So this was fun. Right off the bat, we saw Matt Riddle hit Sami Zayn with a bunch of strikes, like just so many. We saw a beautiful floating bro to the outside. Really good. Blue Thunderbomb from Sammy. That was great too. There's a moment where Sammy goes for the Helluva kick and then, the finish. Sammy goes for the Helluva kick and then Riddle hits him with the RK bro. And that's how he ends up getting the win here. So Matt Riddle is going to go on and face Roman Reigns next week for the championship. And here's the thing, like, it's freaking weird because, you know, we just saw the news that Roman Reigns isn't going to be at Money in the Bank. So part of me is wondering, and I don't know, because I don't know what the chances are, and I don't know if I'm reaching, but part of me wonders, what if they actually give the bouts to Matt Riddle because they know that Roman Reigns isn't going to be there? I don't know. Like, part of me wonders, like, why are they doing this match? Why are they doing this match on next week's SmackDown when it could have been happening at Money in the Bank? What I'm also expecting is possibly for it to end in some sort of shenanigans next week where it could possibly lead to Money in the Bank and maybe there could be a change and we can actually see Roman Reigns on the actual show. I don't know. Like, this is going to be very interesting because either we can see a surprise title change on a random SmackDown, or this could lead to a match at Money in the Bank, which thus would mean that Roman Reigns would actually be there. So that's going to be interesting within itself. Afterwards, we do see the Usos come out and attack Matt Riddle, but Matt Riddle ends up getting them with the kendo stick shot. So let's see what people are saying here. This is from Sheldon Jackson, who sends in a super chat saying, it's crazy to me that all the male titles on the main roster are held by heels and the women's titles are held by baby faces. Good observation. Thank you so much to Sheldon. We got a funny comment here from Natural Girth, who says, Gunther as IC champ? What a fresh of breath air. Oh, I'm never going to live that down ever. All right, let's see what else we got here. And this is Mike New York suggests, what about Orton? I don't know. Maybe that could be a possibility. Zeno Hour says, I think they're trying to pop a big rating. The Kyle Put says, Riddle is insanely over with the crowds. Book the match with Roman. It's money. Yeah, but it shouldn't be like on a, like let's just say there's going to be a title change. If there were. I don't think there is. I'm going to say there's a 99% chance that the titles are not going to change hands, but there's that 1% that you just never know. What did I want to get at with this? I just don't know. I do not freaking know what the hell is going to happen. This one really has me thinking here. Promi Wrestling says, I think they are doing the match next week because they've already spent too much time building a Riddle match just to cancel it. Don't think Riddle has any chances of winning. And M. Durrett says, if after all this time Roman losing isn't used to put someone new over in a big way, then the last few years was a complete waste. Cameron Munford says, I understand the stipulation, but it didn't make sense. If Riddle did lose, he would be banned from SmackDown when he's not a SmackDown superstar. WWE logic at its finest. Anyways, it was predictable, says Cameron Munford. And Zeno Hour says he hopes that Gunther holds the IC title for a full year. Alrighty, guys. Matches that have been announced for next week's Friday Night SmackDown. Of course, Roman Reigns versus Riddle for the Universal Championship. There's a last laugh match between Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. And then Max Dupri will be debuting his first Maximum Male Models client. That was supposed to happen this week, but I guess they pushed it to next week. So we'll see. That was that. But there you guys go. That was today's show. That was Friday Night SmackDown. That was AEW Rampage. 3 good hours of wrestling tonight. Call that a win, everybody. I call that a win. Before I go, thank you guys so much, as always, for tuning into the show. Just a couple of notes really quickly. I have a brand new YouTube channel. Yes, I'm batshit crazy and did another YouTube channel because this time it's a Clips channel. Chris Van Vliet is seriously his inspiration. His Clips channel is freaking phenomenal. And let's be real, I need more money. I live in Los Angeles. Things are expensive. So, and I have so much footage, so much content. It's insane. So I officially have a clips channel. It's called Denise's Pieces. I did not pick the name. I had Sam Roberts suggested it and a couple of other people on my Twitter suggested it. I am not the brilliant one. They are. So Denise's Pieces is officially a thing. I have the links on my Twitter page, or you can just search it up on YouTube. Hopefully you can just go to my YouTube channel and the page is there. You can check it out. Please go there, subscribe. I want to make it a huge thing and hopefully make some more money. So there you guys go. The end of the day, it's all about the money. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I seriously appreciate you all. Have a wonderful and marvelous weekend, and I will see you here back next week. Bye, everyone.